Vans on Patrol time. It's Vans on Patrol time.
Buddy, you read me?
Loud and clear, kid. What's up?
Well, I finished my circle. I don't pick up any life readings.
There isn't enough life on this ice cube to fill a space cruiser. Sensors are placed. I'm going back.
Right, I'll see you shortly. There's a meteorite.
Hot damn. Hot damn. Or should I say cold damn? It's cold. It is cold in where I'm at. It's cold on the East Coast. It's cold in the Midwest. It is cold. Shit, what is it, Fans on Patrol time? Maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure. My name is Montego Bradley, the cold host of Fans on Patrol. With me is the ever so sensitive and chilly one, Miss Tiffobot. How are you, Tiff?
It's colder than a witch's tit here in Iowa. What's
it's
up with you?
It's cold as a witch's titty. It's so cold, it's colder than my mother-in-law's heart. It's cold.
It hasn't been this cold since 1800 and froze to death.
Holy shit. I ain't seen no cold like this. I was out there and I couldn't feel any of my appendages. Holy shit.
Did you know that, well, here it got as cold as the surface of Mars.
Ain't that interesting? Wow. Yeah. And what temperature is that?
It was like when it was negative 16 or something like that.
So we could live on Mars if we had some
right,
air.
Right. So we went outside and we were fine. Like, you know, I wouldn't want to stay out there forever, but I'm just saying, yeah, if we were on Mars and we built huts and stuff and like places to keep us warm, if we were just outside for like 2 seconds, we got this.
Oh, shit. That and Antarctica. You know what, though? I forgot to do the big intro. What's the name of the show? It's called Bright and Cold, episode 171. And it's Fans on Patrol time. Ah. Ooh, cold. Shit. Woo, that's enough about the goddamn
cold. It's so cold that, like, even if you have your heat on in your house, it's still fucking cold.
Yeah, my toes is cold right now, and I hear the heat.
Yeah, mine too.
Shit. Woo, God ain't playing with us. Anyway, what are we doing today? We decided to change it up. We know we told y'all last week we're going to do Jumanji, but we're still going to do Jumanji. However, we were watching TV, you know, it's the holidays, they release stuff on Netflix, and we decided to do Will Smith's David Ayer's Bright. So the name of the show is Bright and Cold, episode 171, Fans of Patrol. So this week we are going to do that movie, and so if you haven't seen it, you can just go to Netflix and check it out. We rarely do something like this, but I thought it would be cool. You know, the production value of this thing is a real movie.
It's too cold to go outside, so we didn't want you to have to leave your house. Tiff, stay inside.
Tiff, how dare you give out the real reason why we didn't go to the movie?
What? No, we're doing this for the fans. For you. You right. Stay inside. You keep warm. We wouldn't want to advise you to leave your house and possibly get injured. So stay on the couch, keep warm. Watch Bright.
Oh, yeah, you know, we're sitting there. I'm like, hey, why don't we just stay? We do this movie because it's cold.
I think people appreciate it. I think it's really a treat for them too.
Oh man, and this is something worthy to talk about because it has a whole bunch of internet buzz and people are into it. And it has big stars in it, and so we're going to talk about this. We're going to review discussion Bright for the main topic. Also, we got a little DC news because things happening over there. You know, the movie came out and. I guess it's deemed as a flop, but it made a bunch of money. But you know how that goes. If I think I'm going to make $1 billion and only make half a billion dollars, then that's a damn flop, even though I made money. Whatever. Bruce Willis, or Bruce Willie, however you want to think about him, he's back in a Charles Bronson remake, Death Wish, believe it or not. So we're going to talk about that trailer. They dropped the trailer so we can check it out. And the internet phenomenon, Slender Man, which I'm way too old to be into, you know. But they decided to do a movie, Tiff. And so they dropped a little trailer, you know, for our younger pre-millennials out there who,
yeah,
you know.
For the younger half of the Fans on Patrol audience. We'll talk about something that you're familiar with.
the Haven Rains out there, the Jasons from Emotions and shit, the younger people out there. And shout out to them. And we're going to do what you're watching because, you know, hey, it's a lot of stuff on TV when you take a couple days off around Christmas. So everybody been watching some, and we'll give you some recommendations or some stay the hell away froms today. And we're back with Batman White Knight, y'all. Batman White Knight.
It's the one we've been following.
It's the one we've been following. I like this, Tiff. I like that, you know, keep coming back to it and stuff.
But, I do too. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. Sean Murphy's number three. So number four is out, but we didn't get to it. So we're doing number three.
I read the wrong one.
Oh, you read number four? Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, God.
You talk about number three. I'll talk about number four.
There we go. So there we
boom,
go.
Boom. And, you're welcome, everybody.
And then we're caught up. Ain't that something? So that's going to be the show for this week, Tiff. Are you ready to soldier on through this tundra?
Yes, sir.
Let's go. All right, man, DC Films, man, they've had a busy year. You know, they had great success with Wonder Woman. You know, they knocked it down, Tifflebot. They just beat the hell out of the records and critics. And, you know, it's only a few people out there that can say anything negative about it because maybe they're just negative people. But then they came out with the big daddy, the one that they've been promising all this time, you know, with Justice League, right? You know, Justice League came out and... You know, people liked it, people disliked it. More people disliked it than liked it. But that's starting not to hold that much water with me, Tifflebot, because I think people just hate everything now these days. You know, it's just what to do is just let's just hate it together.
Yeah,
you know,
for
so.
Sure.
Anyway, but it was deemed as a financial disappointment for them. It's not a flop for them because it made plenty of dough. But
I think maybe they think that it could make even more. You know what I mean? Like they see the potential that it could make more money and it didn't.
Well, that's the point I was trying to make that it's not a flop. It's just disappointing to them.
I know, but I'm just saying that you're just saying it's not a flop, but to them that is a flop.
To them it's that a flop. Like I thought I was going to make $100 million and I only made, you know,
right.
$80 million.
Right. So like cuz like, you know, if you see, but the thing about it is that that's not even necessarily true even if you made the best superhero movie.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
People are fickle.
This is the crowd is fickle at, you know, Gladiator. But so they're making changes over there at DC. So I thought they were about to get rid of Geoff Johns, you know, because they had just brought him in, you know, as creative director and whatnot. But they took the president, right? And they got rid of him and moved him someplace else. What is his name? Walter Hamden, who previously oversaw the production of such horror hits as It and The Conjuring, is now from New Line Cinema, as he's been promoted to president of production for DC Films.
Yep.
So Bird stepped down, which probably was like, they probably said, get the hell out of here. And, he stepped down, you know. And so he's now going to be overseeing, the horror guy is going to be doing the superhero stuff.
Which, I mean, sure, I think, you know, just because you make good horror films doesn't mean you'll make a bad superhero film.
Yeah.
But like, I do think, like, okay, like, if you were going to hire someone for a haunted house, would you hire someone who was like, yes, I've been doing princess parties for 15 years.
Good point.
So I know a lot about costumes.
Good point.
It's like, well, yeah, but does that necessarily mean you'd be good at a horror thing? Do you know what I mean?
I totally understand what you're talking about. And that was exactly what was on my mind when I was, you know, researching this stuff. I was like, man, you know what? We don't know these people though. Maybe he spent his whole career before this trying to be mainstream, and that's what he was placed at. You know, maybe they told him to get the hell over there with Smith. You know, him and Smith from
right,
accounting.
Sure.
You know, so he's a new guy, almost a new guy. Geoff Johns is still the creative director, the creative producer, whatever. And so this guy is the new president to try to get this DC line where they want it, which I don't think they were ever gonna do. At this point, Tifflebot, they would probably have to like scrap everything they're doing and start fresh. But then all the Wonder Woman fans would be mad.
Yeah, start over.
Yeah, they would have to start over. But then the Wonder Woman fans would be mad if you did that because, you know, people liked her movie. And so They're talking about they're not going to do the Will Smith Suicide Squad single movie anymore. And then it makes you wonder where the other properties like the Margot Robbie, you know, they have been talking about doing the...
Right, with the Joker and the Harley Quinn movie and yeah. all other stuff. Well, and I also think, like, I don't know. Like, you don't have to get rid of everything that's good, but you need to be more aggressive about changes that need to be made for future properties. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that they've not... They try to be aggressive, but they're like, well, we should get this guy, you know, he's a big name. It's like, no, you should take risks and shit. Like, that's why, like, with Patty...
Yeah, Patty...
Whatever her name
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Patty something, the, right. Patty Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, Patty Wonder Woman.
sorry, Patty. So, like, Jenkins, is yeah, that a name? Jenkins?
Patty Jenkins, yes. Okay. Like, that's a great, you know, it's not, I don't consider it a risk because I think she's done some other stuff that's good. But it's like, don't always just be like, well, Joss Whedon made a good movie. Well, let's use Joss Whedon. It's like, Joss Whedon can't do every fucking thing. You have to have some other people do some shit.
Yeah, you said Josh Whedon. I thought of Will Wheaton, and then immediately my mind went to that kid that played Alexander. He died this week, man.
He did?
Yeah, yeah. He was like 33 years old. I can't remember his real name.
Man, that kid was a terrible actor.
He was an annoying little kid.
Rest in peace.
You know, he was a leader of a rock group.
What?
That's what he
I
was
feel
doing
bad.
Now.
I don't. It's sad that maybe you know. It's was it drugs?
It was a rock group, so who knows? He's 33. It had to be something, unless he had a pre.
That's too bad. Yeah, he's young. That's young. Yeah. I'm almost 33.
You that young? God dang it.
I'm 32.
You had to tell me some shit like that. I'm my old ass on this podcast. But, yeah, I mean, I know we way off the cuff, but, yeah, just you said Josh
yeah,
Whedon.
That, I
thought
mean, well, you
Will
know, that's
Whedon.
The thing about podcasts. You got segues and all that stuff.
Exactly. But, yeah, that kid died this week, man. I
that's
was like,
too bad.
I was like, wow. You know, I mean, I remember, you know, the episodes, but he played Worf's son. I cannot remember
yes.
his name. If anybody can remember his name, let us know. But I thought I posted the story this week, but I must have didn't. Anyway.
So, getting back to movies.
Mm-hmm.
Not to disregard someone's passing.
No, because that's not what we about here on the show. We got them moving on, right?
So, yeah, I just think, like, they need to, like, I think they're really afraid. They're kind of like, even though I don't have confirmation of these details, mm-hmm. when I think of DC films, I think of, like, just a bunch of tight-ass people just being like, man, I don't know. How do you make money? Do you know what I mean? They're not really, like, concerned about making a good product, where I feel like Marvel, yeah, they do want to make money, but I think when they started, it was, how do we make something that people will like?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That kid's name was John, believe it or not, John Paul.
Really?
Seltzer, dead at age 33, yes.
So, too bad.
Yeah, too bad, too bad. Sorry about that. I had to go back to a little death, but, you know, I'm not making a joke either, so sorry. I'll probably cut that shit out. But, yeah, I think they tried to catch up so fast because everything was working so good at Marvel. That's why it hasn't come out the way fans really want it to be. Because, you know, as much as I talk about the fanboys on this show, I will say this. If it's really good, the fanboys love it, man. You know, they love it and they love you. So they haven't captured that with the audience, you know, with any
yeah,
of the
Yeah, I think there's
movies.
Like some bitterness. Like there's residual bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to go above and beyond.
Yeah, they might have to
get rid of that residual bitterness.
They might have to start all over, man. They might have to take yeah. that story from Mark Millar that I was saying last week that y'all was destroying you and Randy Savage on the show last week. So,
I think what I would do if I was them is I would just scrap everything except for I would keep Jason Momoa.
Yeah, yeah, because that movie's coming out. Is that this year? It might be. Aquaman, I think it is this year.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then I'd also keep Wonder Woman. I would say, like, this is the Wonder Woman movie is where we're beginning.
I would keep Ben Affleck. I thought he was an excellent Batman.
Yeah, but he wasn't so good in the did something go wrong with him? Because I read in a gossip magazine that there was something wrong with him.
What do you mean, like physically or something?
Mentally maybe? Like I
mm-hmm.
because I thought that he was acting strange in the Justice League movie.
I have no idea.
Anyway, yeah, sorry to get off topic, but no, maybe he's good. Got some issues. So
well, Bruce Willis is back, and, you know, he's not a lot of people's favorite actors, but
he's, you know, he's Bruce Willis.
He is Bruce Willis, and so Death Wish, man, 1974, Charles Bronson, Death Wish. If you've ever seen that movie, it's a, you know, beginning of the Everybody Gotta Die movies.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a classic, and it's 1974 to decide to reboot it. I guess, you know, it was a big deal because they had Death Wish, I think, all the way to 4 or 5. You know, I was still watching them, and, you know, because they didn't do it immediately, but they waited till, like, the, I think, the 80s. And then they started doing more Death Wish movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so now Bruce Willis in it. So we got this trailer. You can go on our Fans of Patrol Facebook page, and there it is. It's, you can just scroll down, and you'll see it. You can play it. So what did you think of this trailer, Tiff?
You know what it kind of struck me at? I mean, like, okay, like I said, Bruce Willis is Bruce Willis. He kind of plays Bruce Willis in every movie. But I kind of like it. I like his, like, it looks like it's kind of going to be, like, a cheeky. He's cheeky, you know? And, but I thought the whole time I was watching it, I was like, oh, it's like John Wick for old people. That's what it's...
Hey, old man!
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. John Wick... And Bruce Willis is pretty close to the same age.
I know, but John Wick's. I'm not talking about Bruce Willis being an old person necessarily.
Right.
Even though I know he's older. I'm saying, like, the movie was shot in a way that my parents would enjoy watching it.
Oh.
As opposed to the way that John Wick is shot, which I think my parents would also enjoy, but not as much as they. Like, my parents love, and I'm not saying this is a bad movie, but they love that movie Red.
Oh, I love Red. I do too.
Yeah, and but I feel
I'm
like
old
that's
too.
You're obviously not as old as my parents, but like they like that kind of like tongue in cheek. It's like we're making a lot of jokes in our action movie. It's funny and it's actiony.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally do. I was surprised at like what do you call it, the production value of the whole thing when I saw it, and so. Being in Chicago, it looks like it's shot really well. It reminds me of The Dark Knight, just you know, with the way it kind of looks with the Chicago streets and stuff like that at night.
Yeah. Well, there was a part in this movie also, which is gross, where he flirts with that very young woman.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you are so old. And she is... So young.
Some women like that, Tiff. Don't knock it. You know, some women like that stuff.
That's true. If you know what, ladies, this is not to be down on you. If you want to get up on some old ass balls, you.
Oh boy.
You go for it. I want you to be happy.
Yeah, I tell you what, this was in my mind the whole time that I was watching this. I'm gonna be a.
Go on.
White man coming to the ghetto saving all the poor people.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking shitty.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little, what's that called, white savior?
Yeah, that's all I saw when I was like, yeah, wonderful. Please save us, sir.
Oh, shit.
And it hit me when he was talking to the black kid, but then he goes up to the gang members and shoot the guy.
I thought, I was going to ask you about that because I was like, this is...
Listen,
it's slightly racist.
I don't
some
need
of it seemed a little racist.
Anybody to come to my house to save me from somebody else. Get out of here with this stuff. I don't need a savior, dude. It's just, you know, it's just kind of same old, you know. And then they got the one little scene with the lady all beat up talking about, thank you for saving me. And I'm like, oh, boy, get out of here, man. Get out of here. So that was on
Plus,
my mind.
I have one question for you.
Yes, madam.
We see a scene of him walking where he's got his hood up, so you see his back.
Yes.
That is definitely a younger person.
Oh, it's not him, huh?
No.
Oh, okay.
He would look like my dad in a hoodie, I think. That looks like some like, young person.
Every older audience member we got is going to call it. Listen.
No! I'm sorry. Again, I like to put a disclaimer. Some older folks... are in great shape.
At Tiffobot on Twitter and Facebook.
It is at Tiffobot. Please don't be mean to me because I can dish it out, but I cannot take it.
Yeah, you sure can't.
But, I no comment on older folks' body types. I do not have a good body.
Oh, God, that's funny.
But I did wonder if they put a body double in that. It just didn't look like him. It didn't walk like him either.
Okay.
look so like maybe it, maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's somebody else.
Unless I hear like sweeping, you know, comments from the heavens about how great this movie is. I don't think I'm gonna make an effort to see it, but I wouldn't mind seeing it. Let me put it that way.
Oh, if I was like in my pajamas on a Sunday at home I was like it was on Netflix, I would totally watch
it. Let's watch Death Wish. Yeah, yeah. Let's see it. Compare it to the old one, you know. So yeah, but going to the movies and unless I say somebody's it's like getting John Wick raves and whatnot.
Right. Or there's just like nothing else to watch that week, then we'll go see it.
Yeah, something like that. Even that we'll pick up do a fan service.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the Slender Man, Tiff. Let's talk about Slender Man. Yeah, somebody go find a pre-millennial so they can jump in.
Yeah, some young person. Right. Actually, I know it's like spaghetti.
Spaghetti?
There's like a website about spaghetti.
Oh, I don't know.
Dark spaghetti, scary spaghetti, something like that. I'm sorry, I know I'm messing it up. But they tell scary stories, and that's where Slender Man's from.
Hey, kids, never trust anybody over 30. That includes Tifflebot, because she is over 30.
Yeah, you guys, it's, I'm so sorry about being, see, a few sec. I'm the person in the hoodie. I'm the liar. I don't know anything about but I know that it's not a very old story, is what I'm saying. It's like a recent, like, people have made up, the Slender Man story. And I want to know Montego, because this is definitely out of my wheelhouse.
Yes, ma'am.
Probably really out of yours.
Okay.
What you thought about
the trailer. Just sitting here looking at this thing. You know, first of all, the only thing I could really think of when I was watching it was those stupid ass girls that, you know, I think.
Oh, that killed the other girl because of Slender Man.
14-year-old girls and stuff. So that was in my mind because I just was like, you know, that's my reference for this thing is that. And not much of anything happened. Well, there are some things that happen, like when the girl stabbed herself in the eye and stuff. So I guess like it's like some mind control
stuff. And she looked really young. I was like, is this another horror movie about young children? Because
it's high school stuff. That's from what I can see in the trailer. I mean, it's all creepy. Girl walking through the woods and stuff like that. And the girl stabbing herself in the eye. And you got these little goofy ass little dolls and stuff. I'm not a horror fan. The last horror movie one of the first horror movies I've seen in a long time was It, and I enjoyed It big time, but I don't give a damn about this.
I think you enjoyed it because of the elements of Goonieism.
That's exactly why I enjoyed it. Kids on bicycles in the suburbs. It's just something about it to me. You know, I just, it just draws me in.
It's that adventuresome spirit. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, but this, I mean.
No, I also, okay. What I want to say about this trailer is, for one thing, the internet, the thing where it came from is creepypasta.
Oh, you knew something about spaghetti.
That's why I was scary.
Spaghetti, lasagna.
You want to know why I'm so old? I'm like when my mom would call every fucking game system a Nintendo.
You playing that I'm like, Nintendo
It's that scary spaghetti. It's that scary spaghetti kids are into. I'm so fucking ashamed.
Yeah, welcome to my world now. That's how it happens.
Here's your Metamucil.
With my slippers.
So what I want to say about this trailer is I actually think the Slender Man story is very scary, and a lot of creative people have done a lot of, you know, it is spooky. But this movie, the way the trailer was cut, it was just a bunch of images that were supposed to be scary images.
It's terrible to me. This would not make me want to see this.
No, it wasn't even that scary. Like, here's how I know this trailer wasn't too scary. I could probably watch this trailer if I was at home alone at night. And if I can watch a trailer when I'm at home alone at night, then it's not scary enough. Because, like, it just was a bunch of little small flashes of things that were like, I guess if I saw that, I'd think it was gross.
Which means they're completely pandering to their target audience, people who are already familiar with this stuff and not mainstream among
I suppose. There's probably, like, those are probably all parts of the story.
Yeah. Oh, you see that part? Ooh, you remember that? Yeah, yeah, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's true.
That's what I think.
But yeah. I mean, and here's the thing. I think it'll make money because I think, like, horror films are probably some of the cheapest movies to make.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
All I got to do is find some hoods and let somebody run around screaming and shit, you know, and throw some cheap-ass makeup on them, you know?
And they have a wide audience base. Like, my little sister is 21, 22, and she will go see any fucking movie that's possible to see. Like, any scary movie, she'll go see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I kind of went through a stage like that when I was super young. I'm, you know, just acting a fool on everything scary. And then one day I was like, all these movies are the same.
Yeah, but you know, if you like them, you like them. So that's true. I mean, and like, I also think it's a kind of the movie, like, if you're like, well, I don't know what to see, let's just go see the scary movie. Because, like, you might not always like a drama movie because, like, your drama tastes are different.
Yes.
But, like, if you don't mind seeing scary movies, you're always probably going to be like, it was fine.
Well, let's hit some of that social media shout out, Tiff. Could you give us a little bit of that so we can keep it moving here?
Yeah, I'm sorry to talk so long about scary spaghetti.
No, we all right about pasta lasagna. Go ahead.
For everything Fans on Patrol, of course, go to fansonpatrol.com. And that's where you can see a lot of great stuff with our past episodes and show art that Montego's done, cons that we visited, etc. Again, that's fansonpatrol.com. You can reach us directly at fans@fansonpatrol.com. And that's just a hub that you can say, hey, I like your show, or hey, would you do this? We would love to hear suggestions.
Oh, yeah.
Not a fan going straightforward. You can go through any of our social media avenues. That's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at fansonpatrol. And then we are on Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, Podbean, iTunes, and TuneIn. And if you give us a review, we would love to read it on the air. We want to make you famous. As famous as we are.
Yeah, you know something? I'm not mad at the only 26 reviews anymore, Tiff.
It's hard to make a review.
It is! You bastards! I'm like, man.
Because I tried to do it for someone else the other day, and I was like, fuck, it's hard.
Yeah, it absolutely is, man. So, you know, shame on you, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your name is now these days.
We should just switch over to reading the ones from Podbean. I want to shout out Brian Rubens, because he was super excited about GoBots. And I don't really even know what GoBots are.
GoBots, you know, GoBots? GoBots were. I was about to say GoBots were awesome, but this is the real truth about GoBots. GoBots and Transformers came out about the same time. They were robots in disguise, you know, motorcycles and jets and stuff. But you had Transformers or you had GoBots. GoBots was cheaply made. I think they were made by Mattel or something like that. And then you had Transformers. Oh. They both had cartoons. GoBots cartoons seemed like more of like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, like not really, you know, that good. And Transformers was way better, you know, as far as the way it was drawn and as far as the, you know, the stories were more older kid. And so they lost. That's why you don't even know what the hell a GoBot is. But I remember Leader Run, he was a jet. And the bad guy for GoBots, I think he was a motorcycle, like a chopper. It's like, get out of here. You know, so it was some dumbness about GoBots. But yeah, I don't remember the theme song. I didn't see too many episodes because it was so kiddier, you know, but it wasn't.
Oh, come on. It's not all the same, but still, come on.
It's this difference between watching like the Flintstones and maybe an anime almost, you know.
Oh, come on.
Serious. I'm just saying.
All right. Okay. That's fine. You know what, Brian Rubens? I'm glad that you love GoBots. You go.
Go.
You go. You bots. Go, bots.
Shout out to you, Brian.
Into a really old person. Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
Indeed. So that's it, man. We're going to take a break and we're going to be right back with what we are watching. Oh shit, look at this tip about it. I'm looking at this thing. This is on this Groupon. They have a Sega Genesis console for $38.99. It's all old games and stuff on there.
Oh, that like Sega Classic?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
here's Atari is doing one that in a classic console box, you know, for collectors and shit. You know, it's pretty.
We have a Sega.
Do you? Like the original, huh? Wow.
Yeah, and we have a Saturn and a Dreamcast, and we have a Nintendo and an N64.
Yeah, I forgot you guys. Yeah, I keep all my systems, too. Now, the only one that stopped working, I had a Nintendo 64, and I plugged it in, and it stopped working. I was like, why? You know, why did it stop working?
Why?
Why? I didn't. It's not like it was being abused. It was stored, you know, in a dry spot and everything. It just stopped working. So, because I like Mario 64. It's like my favorite one.
Why? Right.
Yeah, it pissed me off, though. But this is what you're watching, y'all. This we're about to do what you're watching. Hey, Tiff, they dropped a poster for Deep Blue Sea 2, which is probably going to suck.
I love Deep Blue Sea.
I know. I can't believe we haven't done it. I'm surprised we haven't done it.
My hand is like a shark's fin.
Yeah.
So bad. I love it. We watched, you know how many times we watched Deep Blue Sea this year?
Oh, no, I didn't.
3 fucking times. Oh,
you really like Deep Blue Sea.
I love Thomas Jane, and I like movies about sharks.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be watching Deep Blue Sea, and I'll be watching Deep Blue Sea too. Amazing.
I wonder if it's like they're going to, you know, because Thomas Jane is still around. LL Cool J is still around. You know, all the people who was in it is still around, man, you know, that who survived. That'd be interesting. Yeah. I'd like to see it. I love Deep Blue. We're going to do that on the show one day. I can't believe we didn't
do it.
Yeah. Like we had that.
Oh, we should do it for Halloween.
Well, no. Remember, we had that hankering for summer, so we did Jaws, you know?
Yeah. We should have a summer one. Yeah, perfect.
The next hankering for summer movie. We'll do that. So, what have you been watching over this little Christmas break, Tiff?
Okay. So, I actually, we did, around Christmas time, my family watches a lot of Christmas movies, like when we're together, because, like, there's always, they just turn on the Hallmark channel and they make us watch it, and it's just abysmal.
Oh, you guys watch the worst Christmas stuff.
Yeah. We just have it on in the background while we, like, wrap presents or while we play board games and whatever. But I will say the one thing that I watched recently.
Mm-hmm.
So I got wind, a little whispering in the wind, of there being a Star Trek spoof on the latest season of Black Mirror.
Oh, yeah. I've been seeing that's been all over the damn place, right?
Yes. Called Callister. And I was like, well, gotta see this. So, I mean, like, I rushed home and I was like, boop, turn it on.
Right. I'm glad you're talking about this because I'm interested.
Yeah. I watched it. I thought it was actually pretty entertaining. It's one of the better episodes of Black Mirror because, you know, sometimes it skews a little bit whatever and I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
They're long. It's like an hour and a half long. So I'm like, ugh. But otherwise, it was good. I thought it was a really interesting concept. It's like the idea of Star Trek if it was run by like a maniacal tyrant instead of it being like a pacifist's.
What was that other universe they used to have with Spock with the goatee, the Terran little... You know, thing.
Oh, yes.
Was it like that?
No, it's more like it's because you have to watch it. It's like it's one man's version of it. So it's like kind of a, like manipulative sociopath thing. But it's really I think it's even if you don't like Star Trek, I think it's like a worthwhile episode because it doesn't have a lot to do with Star Trek. You don't need to know anything about it besides the fact that Star Trek exists.
Really?
The guy in it, people think it's Matt Damon. It is not. It's not Matt Damon. I don't know. I mean, he looks vaguely like Matt Damon.
That's how he got his job, huh? He got the job because he looked like Matty Damon there.
Huh. But they have a lot more famous people in it now, so like I think that's why people think that. But yeah, I actually would highly recommend it. I even recommend it for you, Montego. But
really?
You get mad because it's perverting your favorite thing.
Oh, you bastards! Leave this trick alone! Leonard Nimoy would be pissed. Speaking of that, did you ever watch Orville? Because I heard it was actually pretty good.
I heard that too, but you know, I just hate Seth MacFarlane so much.
Oh,
I just
really?
Don't know if I can handle it. Yeah, I don't like him.
Yeah, you know what? It was coming on at the it was ending when the show that I was watching was coming on, and every time I saw, no, it was at the beginning, you know, when the show went off, and the first couple scenes I've seen it seemed pretty good, man. I was like, oh, you know what? I need to watch this, but I never did watch it, you know, so.
Well, it's on Hulu.
I don't have Hulu.
Oh.
I don't have. It was coming on regular television, you know.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So I haven't seen that, but I'm. So you think I should? I'm gonna check it out, Dan, because I've seen it and I was like, should I watch that? And I was very interested.
Yeah, watch it and let me know if I could stand it.
Okay.
Like, here's the thing: why does he have to be on it? Why can't he just make something without putting himself in it?
Because he wants to be a star, Tiff. He wants to be a star.
I know. That's why part of the reason I don't like him.
Damn.
what were you watching? What have you been watching?
Oh shit! You know. What I watched a documentary, actually. It's on Netflix. It's called The Toys That Made Us. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4 episodes. And it's pretty good. I really recommend it to nerds because season one was, it says season one, show number one, was Star Wars. So,
well, they probably could do a whole season on Star Wars.
Well, they did a whole show, and it started back when Kenner first got the deal to do the unknown movie Star Wars, and they, you know, it wasn't going to look good for them. And I didn't even know Kenner was a company based here in Cincinnati, Ohio. So what they did was they had all this old footage of the old, cartoons, and they showed you how they developed them and how, why they developed them and, little quirky things. Why was this way? Why was this way? How they got the contract from Lucasfilm, how good the contract was when it went bad. Interesting shit, man. Really interesting stuff. The only thing I didn't like about it was that whoever produced it was trying to be, funny. So some of the things would be like, you see this? And then a big sound drop or something like boing. And you're like, dude, just tell us what happened.
I'm watching this fucking movie. Don't
stop.
We had that on New Year's. I went to that party that I talked about off the air. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to have something on in the background on mute so that people could just look at it. And we put the subtitles on. So that we watched that while we were playing board games. And
Well, I recommend it, Tiff, because the second one was Barbie. And... the bomb drop right in the beginning is I didn't know that the actual Barbie doll was based on some German hooker. And then, it was like, the person who actually got Barbie rolling, they took the concept of what the way she looked and, and then made it into what they wanted it. And then they did He-Man. So interesting, because I wasn't a He-Man collector, but I watched the dumb cartoon. And, I used to see all the toys, and it was very interesting. And the last one was G.I. Joe, all the way from back with the Kung Fu grip into the little dolls and all that shit. So I enjoyed the shit out of it. I absolutely
love that stuff.
Yeah, I recommend it, man. If you play with these toys, if you collected these toys, it would be really interesting to you. It brought back a lot of memories and stuff. And it was like little shitty things about the, and you're like, well, I wonder why I did this. And they talked about it. You're like, oh, pretty good, man. Pretty good. And so I really enjoyed it. I hope they do some more, because it was some other shit I used to play with as kids that I would really like to, know the behind the scenes thing, So I recommend the shit out that show. If you like documentaries, if you like those toys, Star Wars, He-Man, G.I. Joe, Barbie, you would like this shit. It's really informative and it's entertaining, but some of the little jokes, you're like, dude, just stop. You guys are not funny. Just keep it moving. Anyway, so that's what I've been watching. So I think that's going to do it. So we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back with In the Comics, which we haven't done in a while, man. So we're coming back with Batman 3 and 4, White Knight. So we'll be right back. Let's go, let's go, let's go. You can't drink no more. Put your cup down and let's go. Don't need no more. Put your cup down and let's go. Don't need, oh no. Now she taking off her clothes. All right, here we are with Batman White Knight, Sean Murphy, book number 3 and 4, with Matt Hollingsworth. Is that the credentials exactly the same for number 4, Tiff?
Yeah.
Okay, so I read one book, she read the other book, so we're going to do both books. We're going to do them real quick. So, in book number 3, this is the story we left off where Jack Napier was identified as the Joker, and he was cured accidentally with a bunch of head pills. And they've been vilifying Batman throughout the book as being a scourge of Gotham. That's actually the real problem, which is kind of nuts to me, because this so-called cure, I don't see how people could ever trust anything coming out of the Joker's mouth, because he's still a genius and he's been appearing to help Gotham. In book 2, he had basically had supervillains eating Clayface, and using the Mad Hatter's hat to control them because over long distances. And so we didn't know if he was still a villain or not at the end of book 2, but book 3 starts and he absolutely is a villain, because he sends these villains appearing to the public to look like they're a united force. And so the cops were out there, they were losing, the gangsters were out there with the supervillains, and they were just destroying the city and just murdering people left and right. And Batman and his crew was out there, couldn't keep up with them. And so basically they rampage through the city and tear up a bunch of stuff, all for a distraction so the Joker can go into these secret city files and find out that they have a contingency fund, a disaster fund labeled the Batman Fund, and it's been averaging $3 billion a year to do damage control, apparently after things that Batman has tore up. But it's really, if it was no supervillains destroying the city, then, it's not like Batman's destroying the city. It's
right.
It's the incidents. And so Harley Quinn, because there were two Harley Quinns, there was the older Harley Quinn and the younger Harley Quinn, she wants her pudding back. So she dresses up and she goes out there and, you know, tries to act, you know, she's, you know, hunting the Joker down because she don't like this bullshit. She don't like this Joker. And so, yeah, out, you know, I don't know. Should we spoil this? Somebody dies in this one, man. And it's really, you know, hits home. And Batman is looking like the total bad guy by the end of this book. So what happens in your book, Tiff?
Okay, so in my book, they are having a, they're trying to control, the police are saying, how are we going to control the situation with Jack Napier, with the Joker? He's going to have a protest today, and in a poor neighborhood. So they are, and here's the thing, it's minorities. So this book was a little weird for me, but, so he's trying to like stage this protest so that when Batman shows up, he says, okay, we're not going to protest. I'll leave. I'm the instigator. I'll leave with you peacefully so that he looks good.
It's a setup.
Yes. So that it looks good to other people. And then, so people are like, oh, you should, you know,
run for office.
You shouldn't be met. Right. Let him out. Let him. Oh, he's running for councilman.
Oh, of course he is.
Right. So
I'm just guessing. I didn't read number four yet, y'all. So
yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. And then, so this one's more like, racially charged about like stuff too, but it's interesting. And what he ends up doing is, he gets attacked by the old Harley Quinn,
mm-hmm.
and he says, we should use the contingency fund to build a better police force. And then the superheroes should be on the police force under the badge so that we can say like, okay, we're using these funds appropriately. There's rules and procedures, and then you can use your superpowers, which is being rich or whatever, like he said in the movie, and to fight crime, but you'll be doing it in an organized manner. Well, they're like, I don't know about that. So they know that Batman's not going to do it. So they go for Nightwing and Batgirl.
Yeah, because they're having a problem with him.
They're the weak links. And also because, yeah.
Yeah, and they rewrote this a little bit because in this timeline, Jason Todd was the first Robin. And Dick Grayson was the second one, and Jason Todd died, and so Dick Grayson has been feeling like he's just been a fill-in, his whole life and stuff, which is actually a better story. But you know, Jason Todd was an afterthought idea, so you know what I'm saying. So,
right,
it makes more sense that he would be the number two, but that's in this rendition of what's happening.
But basically, this is telling the story of how the old Harley Quinn is attacking the town now. She's gotten some of the people, you know, she's controlling them, and she's saying, I'm in love with the Joker. The new Harley Quinn is in love with Jack Napier.
Exactly. They both can't have him.
Right. So she's saying, I want the Joker back. She's trying to instigate him to come back. Then she kind of tells her backstory about why she loves him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something revealed at the very end of this book that's a big surprise.
Okay, because I'm going to read this sucker, but I can tell
you. Yeah, I won't tell you what it is, but it's a big surprise.
The art is beautiful. Love it.
The art is really good. But that is, and it's, as we said before, it's super consistent. So, like, every panel is good.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the one scene where they got in there in a car garage, and that's a 78 Chevy Nova. And that is a Mustang. That's a Porsche. And you can tell, I love when they draw so good that it's just not, you know, random car, that you can actually see that's something. I like this book, man. I like the way this story is going, and I have no idea what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? I like it. It's going good. This is
a great, and I think story. It's only going to be 12. Is it 12 issues?
Too many. They should probably stop at 8. But you know,
you could say if they were 8, you'd say there should be 4.
Goddamn! I think every comic book arc should be 3 books. To be honest with you, I like the 3 book thing, but you know, no more than 6. But they're going 12. It's going to get stale to me. I know it is. So you know, whatever.
So would you still recommend this book to the people?
Hot diggity dog, I recommend. It's the hottest thing going right now in this cold tundra. I would definitely recommend this. It's the highest recommendation, actually. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that this would actually make a really good... I think they should make this storyline into
a movie?
Like a Gotham or like a movie. Yeah, yeah. It's a really interesting storyline.
Yeah, it is. And you wouldn't have to introduce. You have to do the origin. You wouldn't have to do any of that stuff, man. You know, it's good. But so that's gonna be it for In the Comics, man. We are done, and we're gonna come right back with our discussion review on Will Smith, David Ayer's Bright. So we'll be right back.
I won't never be nothing, ain't that something? I've risen from the bottom, I got them eyes on the prize, and inside I'm damn right I overcame. Y'all know the name, we similar but never been the same. Everybody, yeah, they know the name. Right now I'ma make it somehow, make it some way. Yeah, you know,
right,
we gon' get it.
2017's David Ayer, Will Smith, Joel Edgerton, Bright, Netflix original. And so we had no inclination to do this movie, but we just decided to do it, right, Jeff? We said, hey, why not do something different. And so I watched it on New Year's Day, and Happy New Year's to our fans.
Oh yeah, Happy New Year's.
Yeah, we're the worst.
We're the worst.
And so I started watching it. I thought it was a series. You know, we had been hearing so much about it, but we never really talked about it on the show. And I said, well, you know, if it's a series, let me watch one because I want to play some video games. And then I quickly realized, oh, this is a movie. Hey, this is interesting. And I don't know what the hell is going on, but I'm compelled. And I'm watching this thing, and I'm like, I think I like this thing. And I was like, hey, when I sent you the message, I was like halfway through it. I said, I think we should do Bright. So, you know, without spoiling anything, I enjoyed this. It had some, you know, some people complain about Will Smith being Will Smith, and he definitely had some I'm just being Will Smith moments, but I didn't care. I enjoyed this. And Tiff, it's been, they're getting a sequel for this. It's been,
I know, I saw that.
Yeah. So without spoiling it, how would this work for you?
When you asked me to watch this movie, I was like, sure. I was interested in watching it anyway. So mm-hmm. I was like, fine. But I wasn't like sometimes I'm just not in the mood to watch a movie.
No, I didn't care. Jeff, I'm the same way. I didn't care about this. I said, let me check it out. I wasn't like pumped for this, but go ahead.
So I started watching it. It's right from the beginning. Like, I'd say if you give it 10 minutes. I mean, right from the beginning, I liked it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. I'm interested in what's happening here. But 10 minutes in, and then you guys, once the action starts in this movie, it just doesn't stop till the end.
Yeah.
It's so, I really liked it. I was surprised by how much I liked it.
Because it has so many social themes. It has, it has Lord of the Rings shit.
Yeah.
It has straight out of Compton shit.
Go ahead. I love that, when you were saying it's like Lord of the Rings, that Lord of the Rings stuff. I like that, like, they weren't like, millions of years ago, humans, elves, and orcs. You go right in, and you don't have to worry. Like, you just accept it. This is the way it is, and there's some tension. They show you what the tension is, and it's really well. They're not like. And the other thing I liked about it is they're not like, whoa, magic. They're like, man, magic is dangerous. This is like
everything.
You know what I mean? Everything was serious.
Everything was ignored. All the special things about this was completely ignored. It was what life is and what it's been. And so there was no need to be in awe of what the director was doing on screen to inflict that on the audience, so to have the characters in awe, so you could be in awe, you know. So that's what I liked about it, that it was like right to the, you know, balls to the walls, in your face. This is how the world is. And don't ask us too many questions because we don't have time to explain to you. That's what I liked about it. I really liked that about it.
Yeah, it's really good.
So Darrell Ward, man, Will Smith plays Darrell Ward. He's a police officer, and okay, y'all, just so y'all know, the fantasy world has been a part of the history of the world from the beginning. They had a Dark Lord that was defeated, but he promised he would come back, and this had nothing to do with no goddamn ring or no journey, but orcs are a part of normal human society. What is the name of the elves are a part of normal human society.
Yeah.
Everything that you've seen in Lord of the Rings is part of this. However, there's nothing fantastic about this world. It's effed up straight out of Compton, L.A. You know, you don't want to be in this place. It's like what California, you know, we see the palm trees and movie stars on TV, right? But if you ever go to California, that ain't it. You know what I'm saying? That's what it was. I mean, this guy lives in a shitty neighborhood. And right from the beginning, I had no idea what this was about, Tiff. And so when he was had to go out and fight the sprite, I was like, because at first I thought, you know what it was? I thought it was alien nation. I thought that aliens had came down and he had an alien partner. Because he
yes. Okay.
And he had to, his wife was like, could you go kill a sprite or whatever the damn thing was? And he went out there and the homies was out there. He said, man, I'm trying to sell my house. I like that exchange. What did you think about this opening part here?
Yeah, it's good. It like lays, you really get a sense of the character that people are like, oh, he's Will Smith. Like, and I see that, but like, I thought he was really enjoyable in this role. It worked.
Yeah, it worked. It was a couple of moments where he Will Smith out. If you're going to shoot me, shoot me. I'm like, oh, dude, you, how many times movies you say that shit in? You know what I'm saying? But it was that. But like him out there in his bathrobe with the homies heckling him, swinging on his Sprite, mad because he has an orc, the first orc partner, you know? So it's like, it's like Brown versus the Board of Education with them. You know, everybody's watching, but they hate, each societies hate each other. So the orcs are like worse than like the worst minority, you know.
And can I just say, I love Jacoby.
Jacoby, Joel Edgerton. He was the greatest, and I'm so glad
he's
going to be in the next movie because he was good. He was the heart of the thing.
Yeah. Plays the role so well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's very innocent, you know what I mean? Like, and he just wants to be like a good cop, and he just, it really comes through as like a real, when you do a buddy cop movie, which is, this is a buddy cop movie.
Absolutely.
You have to have two diametric opposites. That's, in my opinion, that works the best. But sometimes when they do that, because I've seen a lot of buddy cop movies because I like them, like one person's like too much of a hard ass and one person's too much of, you know, a goofball. But he is not a goofball. He's goofy because he's so earnest. He's very honest. He honestly wants to be a good police officer. And he doesn't let people get him down.
Yeah, he has nowhere to go because he's not blooded, which is you know, you're not a real G with the orcs. And so he has nowhere to go. He's wanted to be a cop his whole life. And Will Smith wasn't too much of the asshole because at first I thought we were getting Denzel Washington all over again. You know what I'm saying? I thought he was going to be corrupt and all this other stuff. But he wasn't. He just didn't want to. Nobody wants to be paired up with this thing, this guy, this other person. And he did it because he's a good cop. But, you know, like his sergeant said, nobody wants to work with you either. You know, so... You know, they go out and he's like, he was off, right, Tiff? Because he almost got killed and he blames
it. Yeah, he got shot.
He blames it on his partner.
And yes.
It wasn't his fault. However, you know, there's something happens. He chases the kid down and they never catch the kid. So they go out and they get a call. Now, this call, when they got to, you know, where the magic was happening, I'm still not sure what the hell is happening because they're introducing you things as they go because they drive through Elf Town and I'm thinking like, okay.
I love Elf Town.
Right. It looked like Dubai, right? Everybody has like Lamborghinis and stuff. The elves were the top tier 1% of, you know, culture. They were the richest and they are the most agile. They are the strongest. They were monsters, man. I mean, they were bad. And so.
Well, I don't know if all elves are that strong because they were a special kind of elf.
They were like a witch's coven. They would call them
they
brights.
They were like, what did they call them?
Brights. But they...
No. Oh. Brights is... A bright is a person who can control a wand. They were called... They had a weird... It doesn't matter. Go on.
Yeah, so they go... They kind of introduce you to the dynamics of the thing. So the scene where the internal affairs comes in and questions Will Smith... And they decide to put a wire on this dude. Very powerful scene, man. Very powerful scene. I like the exchange between Will Smith and the Spanish guy with the big mustache. He said, with that big stupid-ass mustache, and you go share your stupid-ass mustache and all that stuff. Really well done. David Ayer, so impressed with this dude, man. So impressed with, have been impressed with him. But he did put his foot in this one, I think. And so he's supposed to go record this guy because there's no way in the world that the orc got away. They felt like he let the criminal get away and try to take a shot at the
cop. So everyone wants him gone. It's not just that everyone in the precinct wants him gone. So they're trying to find a way to get him fired.
I love the fact that he was standing outside, not eavesdropping, but able to hear how bad people was talking about him.
Well, he can hear everything, right? I think he's got really good hearing.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think he has good senses.
Good senses, yeah.
Right, and so they go out on patrol, and they're trying to have, you know, this banter, and he's like the rookie, and he's just like just being so rude and mean to him, man. But he never gets down about it, you know. He
just he's just so. I mean, like he does have sadness, but he's like, I'm on the, you know, I'm a cop, and this is what cops do, and like he's really into it.
So this thing happens in the middle of the hood with the our Spanish homies, right? And they find a magic wand, man, and this is like a big deal because there's no magic wands and stuff. You know, people don't have magic. It's almost think it's it, we know it exists, but we ain't seen magic in, you know, hundreds of years and stuff. And so everybody wants this wand because, you know, you give a wish and you can get anything you want. So that, you know, it's all hell broke loose. They know it's magic and they come outside, and when the homies show up and the threats happen, and talking about intense scenes, Tiff. This whole showdown with the Chivato homies, man, was like, whoa.
Everything from here on out is superb. Like, not that it wasn't good to begin with, but like a bunch of shit was happening.
Superb. Love that word. Yeah. You absolutely right, because the homie started shooting and blasting. The guy was in a wheelchair. He wants to walk, and you know they take off and they got the little Bright in tow, because they found one of the elves and she can't speak English. She's all discombobulated, but they're saving each other's lives through all this. But the scene when the cops showed up and they said they were gonna kill them both if you don't kill him, and then they were gonna kill him, and he turned around with the paka 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 paka, killed all the cops. Woo!
Well, they threatened his family. They're like, okay, two cops are gonna die tonight, or one cop's gonna die tonight, because they're corrupt cops. They want to take the wand because the wand grants wishes.
How
they
about said, the damn sergeant who was in it with them? I'm like, man, the boss is in with them too. Damn, it was messed up. They was gonna kill this guy, man. You know, he didn't know. So he was gonna go out and kill him, I think, if he said the wrong thing about letting that kid escaped, because he said that it wasn't the person, it was a kid, he escaped, and that's why I did it. Why didn't you tell me that? He believed them, shot the cops. Now it was all out warfare, because that's when the homie showed up, because they see everybody saw him shot the cops. Everybody was chasing them. The federal agents was in there. They was looking for them because he was, because the ultimate bad guys, they knew all about and stuff. And so when the elf showed up, what a bunch of monsters these beautiful people was, man. Damn, they was horrendous. Yes. They just killed everybody.
They were crazy.
So what do you think about these elves, Tiff?
Lila? Yeah,
what's her name? Lila?
Lila, yeah. I think like they're really strong, and like they're also like they move insanely, and they kind of seem like they have like somewhat of invulnerability, because it's kind of hard to kill them. They it's like stab them and stuff.
Yeah, because the dude got stabbed and they got blown up and they was on fire and shit, and they just kept coming, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, they were, and like, it's like they handled whole rooms of people with just the three of them.
I love the titty bar.
The titty bar.
I'm not done. So you want to go out like that in a titty bar? You want to
nasty? Yeah, that was a great scene.
Yeah, that was really nice. You know, it made sense. But they came in and they killed the hoes. They killed the pimps. They killed the.
They killed everybody.
Everybody died. And you're like, damn, man, he's just looking at the boobies. You know, he gotta die. I mean, they killed everybody. And so, what this movie is, y'all, it's just running from. It's a chase movie. They're going from place to place, and when they show up at the orc bar, and they were rousting orcs earlier than that, and that turned out to be a disaster, you know, but they got away. But it was amazing to me how everybody knew that he had something, and everybody kept following them. So they had the whole hood following them.
Everybody was after them.
Yeah, it was. But when them elves showed up, they was killing off all their competition. You know, they killed all those federal agents in like seconds, and they had like machine guns. I was like, damn. So the stakes were super high. You know, but luckily they had a little tiki with her, right? Because they had one little elf lady, a tiki with them. And
yeah, she's a turn. Inferni.
Yeah, Inferni, right. That was the name of the group. And they were looking for
that's
her.
That's the kind of elf they are.
Yeah, I knew they were.
So they're like a more advanced or something. And she was, but she's turned away from their. Bright, is it the shield, that light shield, shield of light?
Yeah, because they were going to bring back Sauron.
Right. So she's on the other side now. So, but she's very powerful in some respects.
So I like when the naked dude told the Will Smith character, he told the Edgerton character that.
Yes, he was like, prophecy. You're special.
Yeah, this guy's special. Stay with him. You know, he was like, you know, boo, 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 boo.
So the whole time. Some stuff happens later, but like the whole time you're like, when are we going to find out he's special?
Right, because the one homie picked up the wand and he just like evaporated into dust, into nothingness, right. And made it, you know, super fast. And so, you know, this shit goes down, it goes bad, it goes sideways, and they, you know, he's calling people. I like the scene at the gas station when the Hispanic guy, deputy showed up and stuff. And even the little conversations earlier on when they were picking up the homeless dude, well, the naked guy, and they were having that little conversation about their families. It was so real. And not pointless. You know, it was like it really helped you to understand these characters more. And when he showed up in the end and the power got cut, you know, it just went from bad to worse. They went back to the hotel where they first found the Inferni girl. And, you know, they had a climax at the end with the pool because she had got all beat up from using that power and getting them out of that mess and stuff. But you couldn't keep Leela down, man. She was a goddamn monster. She just kept
coming. She was a machine. She would come and come and come.
Yeah, she was.
And just, like, kick your ass. And she didn't care about anyone else but herself. Well, she cared about one other person.
Who did she care about?
Well, are we going to spoil?
Oh, we've been spoiling all this shit. Go ahead, yeah.
Okay. It turns out Tika is her sister.
Tika is her sister, exactly. But she was going to kill her, too, at the end.
Yeah, but she wants her to come back.
She did want her to come back. She tried to give her a chance to come back, but her ass was grass at the end with that pool. It was over with. Because the old boy, he put like 17 rounds in her. Hey, let's go back a minute, though, when he got...
Yeah, I'm so sorry. No, I want to talk about a bunch. There's so much to talk about in this movie.
Well, we can't get into all of it, but what I do want to talk about...
Well, you want to talk about the orc thing when they fall from the pit. Oh, that whole scene. I love I want to see a movie about just the orc.
Yeah, because they were
ringleader or whatever, because he's amazing. And he, like, and what I really liked is that, like, so it turns out, can I talk about this scene?
Oh, like, please.
They've been arrested. Well, not arrested. They've been taken by this, he's like, I guess I would call him like kind of like a mob boss.
Right. Right.
And absolutely, what he's saying is like, I've done this thing, which is kind of a nice thing. He's like, I've done this thing where I want humans, elves, orcs. I had them in a club.
The barbecue was nice. Wasn't it a barbecue? He was talking about the barbecue.
Yeah, it's like a barbecue club thing. And he's like, where everyone can be there and it's safe. And the only rule is no guns, and you come and you ruin it.
Right.
So he's like, you have to be punished because obviously he can't lose face. But he's kind of charming in a way, but he wants, so they beat the crap out of him trying to get them to tell them where the wand is. He wants the wand. And Jacoby won't give it up, but so he's going to kill them both. But he wants his son to do it. He wants his son to have first blood so he can get his orcish rights.
Be one of the homies. Right.
Right. So he goes to kill him, and surprise, the kid that he let go, who was not the person who shot his partner, is this kid. He said, "Father, I can't kill him because he saved my life." And that scene, I was like, I was a little bit worried for his son. I was like, is he going to get punished later? Because he was like, you can't be here.
I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah.
When it happened, I was like, oh, because it kind of all look alike and stuff. I know that sounds racist, but it's Max, y'all. They all looked alike. And so you couldn't tell. And he walked away. And I said, I thought they were going to let him go, Tiff. You know, because he saved his son's life, but he still shot him, the bastard.
No, he shot the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, like, I actually do, I know this sounds weird, but I kind of liked that because, like, he's supposed to be portraying this person who doesn't give a shit. And in a lot of movies, they'd be like, I'll forgive you. You spared my son. But it's like, probably in reality,
uncharacteristic.
In a real situation,
they
would not do that. They wouldn't give a shit. So they kill him.
Yep.
And he falls in this giant, like, sacrificial pit thing.
Yeah.
And then Tika takes the wand out of, it was in her vein, like she hid it inside her body, I don't know. She pulls it out, and she says, she brings him back to life.
Ooh, she resurrected him like, Lazarus from the pit, Tiff. Play that music, boy, yeah. he was back in the church and stuff. So he was the man after he came back to life. The orcs had nothing but respect for him now, Jack.
Yeah, he's been a part of a prophecy that's been told, I guess, before.
Yeah, they think he's their Messiah.
He has reason. Yeah. He has risen. He's the prophet, the prophecy.
He's supposed to unite the orc clans.
Right.
So great.
Man, that is a great scene. And all the lights come on in that big, powerful throne tree. It was amazing.
Hey, that was probably my favorite scene in the whole movie, to be honest with you.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. I think, like, that scene's really, really good. And, like, it's just... And I also like some funny scenes. That's good. I don't know. I don't want to be like, I know I'm gushing over this movie and it's kind of hard, but I think it's because it's so unexpected.
It was very unexpected. And they didn't jam all the strange stuff down your throat. And I know some people will be like, man, it's just too strange. If you know anything about Dungeons and Dragons and or Lord of the Rings or anything like that, it'll make sense to you. If you don't care about that stuff, then you still like it because it's still a good buddy cop movie. At the least, it's a good buddy cop movie.
Oh my God, at the very least. If you like cop dramas, watch it. If you like Lord of the Rings type stuff, watch it. If you like buddy cops movies, watch it. If you like movies, I'd recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, to the highest recommending. And I couldn't believe that this was a Netflix movie I was watching because I was like, this was theater quality all day long.
It was.
But maybe they thought, how do we market this fucking thing? You know what I'm saying?
Right. True enough. It might not have been successful if you put it in a theater.
Well, you got a star like Will Smith in it. And even the other people. You know, none of these actors were bad or not believable. These were good actors, man. Very, very good actors. And I'm like, you know, nobody bothered me. Nobody was like, oh, boy. You know, I even liked his wife in the beginning. You know, I was like, man, I like her. I really like her. You know, she was witty. She wasn't annoying. You know, and she was just a wife.
And when he calls and tells her to, like, get out of town,
she doesn't
like, but I'm going to help you. She just, like, applause. She left those bitches at the restaurant.
Applause.
She didn't even pay her shit. She just left.
Applause. She did exactly what your woman should do. Don't sit up here and argue with me. Don't talk about you got to go get the girl. She got her shit. She left. They was like, what? Where was she going? She didn't even say nothing to her homie. She just left. That was a great scene, Tiff. You got that right. That was a great scene. I had so much respect for her. But I had respect for her in the beginning when she was talking about what happened at the hospital that night and telling him to go out there and kill a fairy. That's what it was. It was a fairy. She's like, go kill a fairy. Because they were like rodents, some weeds and bees and stuff like that. And they kept trying to get in the bird feeder. So I like this movie, too. I really like it.
I do,
it.
Too. I can't recommend it enough.
Me too. Me too.
You should definitely watch it. If you didn't stop the podcast and went watch it before you listened, go watch it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's worth it, man. It's really, really worth it. I can't give it enough. Again, you might have some problems with, you know, I know some people don't like Will Smith because he can pull that same bag out from time to time. And he did in this in a couple of spots, but not the whole movie. And it's good. I enjoyed
it. Right.
So that's going to do it, y'all. That's going to do it for Bright, man. And, man, I pleasure doing this one. So what are we doing? We're going to do Jumanji next week.
We promise.
We promise. But this was so unexpected and came out of nowhere. So, you know, and it was cold here, y'all, like it is now. Shit. So anyway, man. We came here to do the damn thing and we got it done. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is the ever so sensitive one, but not too sensitive this week, Miss Tifflebot.
It is a pleasure as always.
Yes, indeed. And Smooth just didn't make it today. He, you know, Smooth fans, I don't know when he's coming back. He might be back next week. We don't know what his work schedule is, so we'll just have to play it by ear. But Jumanji next week, and I think that's going to do it, Tip. So,
that's it.
Until next week with Jumanji, we will be on patrol.
So what and when that begin then? I gotta join in and before my rhyme is over, you know I'm a win. Cool chance to rhyme, so you better make way. Ask anybody in the crowd, they say the kid don't play. Spark competition, that's my hobby and job. I don't wear disguise because I don't.